Current events.
Cutting edge.
Faith.
It's awesome.
Encouragement on the go.
It's the SOS Radio Podcast.
50 Christmases is next week. It's going to be so fun. We're going to have these living room settings with armchairs and coffee tables and sofas and fresh cut Christmas trees. And so many children that have incarcerated parents are going to have Christmas with mom or dad. We're talking with Kimberly Malloy, and she's a marriage and family therapist with Center for Relational Health. How are you, Kimberly?
I am great, Scott. How are you doing?
So you've been volunteering with Hope for Prisoners 4 years, and you actually lead some of the groups. You work in the training, and Hope for Prisoners essentially helps people that are coming out of our prison system, you know, men and women who really are fighting for a second chance. And have you found the reality of that, that most people ultimately do want to change?
Oh, yes, for sure. I get the honor and privilege of actually working with these men and women before they get released. And we will, you know, hold weekly classes on emotions and relationships. And their number one topic is their families and their relationships.
I got to imagine if you've been locked up for a few years, you're not going to have the normal family relationships that we have that just come with quality time.
Right, right. And you got to remember that for a lot of these men and women, look at, they are doing their very best that they can. It's for some of them, it's they're trying to do better than what was modeled for them. And they are trying to do something better for their kids. And unfortunately, when we don't have the tools, we sometimes just repeat patterns.
It's really interesting when you think about people who are incarcerated. There's generally a couple of schools of thought. There's, wow, this person created a crime and they're serving their time and they're getting the consequences for their action. And that only goes so far because prison doesn't break addiction.
Right.
Prison
right.
doesn't break domestic violence challenges that are in a family. Prison doesn't change a mindset to someone who's come in feeling like a victim. And you work with men and women who are coming out of this and you're able to speak life into them before they come out of prison. That's why you volunteer.
That's right. And one of the things, you know, you just touched on is not only do those things not correct it, but the number one thing that we often do is we try and shame people to get out of addictions or to shame their behavior. And nobody has stepped out of an addiction or has stepped out of a dysfunctional behavior because of shame. We have to understand where all of this comes from and really sit with these folks and understand their stories and connect with them and give them some validation. And guess what happens then? They feel heard and they begin to open their hearts and ears up to hearing new tools, new ways, new truth.
There's a big difference between owning something and saying, I did something bad, and
right.
feeling I am bad. At my core,
right.
I'm bad. And that's where shame creeps in a weird way.
That's exactly it. That's the difference between guilt and shame. Is guilt is all about behavior. Shame is the I am.
When we want to help someone make a real life change, it's important to understand the difference between dealing with guilt and dealing with shame. And we're talking with Kimberly Malloy, and she's a marriage and family therapist with Center for Relational Health. But when it comes to tackling an addiction or changing a victim mindset that's been there for decades or resetting an identity from what we did to who we actually are in Christ, addressing the difference between guilt and shame is the first step.
Guilt is all about behavior. Shame is the I am. And let me tell you, most of these men and women, when we spend time together, they have the stories of, you know, I am a failure. I failed as a parent. I am a bad person. I am a mistake. That's the story that they replay themselves. And until we give them a new story and a new way to look at it, they're not able to do that. And unfortunately, sometimes with the kids, there's even the shame that kind of flows down with the kids. The shame of sometimes having a parent that has been incarcerated, that they won't talk to other people about, they won't tell their story about. So even with the kids, we need to work on the stories that they tell themselves.
We're talking about how we reunite families in our community with Kimberly Malloy today at SOS Radio, and she's a marriage and family therapist with Center for Relational Health, and you work with Hope for Prisoners as well. You work with a lot of the training for men and women who are coming out of the prison system who ultimately are fighting for a second chance. We're doing 50 Christmases this next week, and this is for children that have incarcerated parents, and what's the stigma that these kids are carrying around when mom and dad aren't around? I mean, we know that there's crime patterns that can repeat themselves, but there's kids that are in tough situations and they don't feel like they're heard. They don't feel like they're seen. They don't even know where mom and dad are half the time. And how have you seen that affect them?
Well, I think kids are no different than what we do as an adult. They begin to start doing the comparison game at a really young age. Oh, well, my friend over here, he's got a mom and dad, or they're around and they go to their soccer game or they show up at their school and I don't have that. And that shame begins to grow inside them and they begin to isolate. They begin to make up different stories. They don't become their authentic self. They become what they think the world wants from them. And it's lonely and it's heartbreaking for them. Men and women that are incarcerated, one of the things we always encourage is, look at, while you're in, connect with your kids. You know, don't let your own shame story stop you, because that's what happens when we're in a shame, is we want to isolate. Don't let your own shame story. Your kids need you. They need to hear the authentic truth. They need to know that you made a mistake. You are not a mistake. And that you are my child and I love you and you are worth connecting with.
So Kimberly, what's the best way to restart a parenting relationship with kids that you feel like you've been alienated from for a long time?
Well, I think one of the best things, first of all, you have to be present and being able to kind of sit in the mud with your kids. Like some kids are going to have some of those feelings of anger and abandonment, and being able to sit in there with them and go, you know what? I know that I haven't been around. I'm sorry that I haven't been around. It had to be hard for you. Let's talk about what we can do now to start building this relationship. What do you need from me now?
We see a lot of patterns that tend to repeat themselves when we look at crime statistics in certain areas, and when families are tied into the bondage of drug addiction, and lack of jobs, and fatherlessness. And we're talking with Kimberly Malloy today at SOS Radio, and she's a marriage and family therapist with the Center for Relational Health. But we see these stats, and I was talking to some police officers just last week, and they were saying, you know, it was interesting, in my first decade of policing, I would arrest the same people in the same areas over and over again over the next couple of years. But then after my second decade of policing, I was noticing I was arresting the kids of the guys that I was arresting before. And then after doing this for 20 years, I'm starting to see the grandkids. And our police officers are seeing those patterns. And there is a reality where our community can intervene with the kids that have incarcerated parents right now. I mean, that's why we do things like 50 Christmases.
Yeah, being able to show a child that people care, that there is a support system, that, okay, maybe their mom and dad are not with them right now, but there are people that care. They have come together because of this child, and we care about this child. And look at, love wins, period. It always wins, and that will always speak to them. It's the same thing that will speak to their parents, too, is being able to love them and go, look at, you did make a mistake, but you are not a mistake. And with this child, being able to say, look at, your mom or dad made a mistake. You are not a mistake, and you are not a part of their mistake. And we love you and we support you. When kids see that there's a supporting environment that's willing to have the conversation, that's the other thing too, sitting down and being able to have conversations. Talking about emotions, talking about how this has impacted them, giving them a place to be heard and express their emotions.
We're talking to Kimberly Malloy today at SOS Radio, and she's a marriage and family therapist, and she's one of the trainers that works with Hope for Prisoners. But Kimberly, how does the program work? I mean, people are getting ready to come out of prison, and your team actually goes in, and you do a lot of different training with these former inmates who do want to get jobs and do want to reconnect with their kids, do want to reconnect with their ex or with their spouse, and they want to fight for a second chance, but in a lot of ways, they don't really know how.
That's exactly it. You talked about patterns. And if we don't give them tools, we will go back to the ways that we used to handle things. So, you know, a lot of what the center does is when we're working with these folks, we are one of the very first things we kind of get them to see is emotions, because most of them have emotions of angry, sad, or mad. And getting them to expand on emotions and understand that, you know what, maybe it's not anger, it's really frustration or it's disappointment or humiliation or embarrassment. Getting them to understand that, give them tools in which to manage the emotion versus just reacting it. But we'll talk to them about relationship skills. We'll talk to them about social skills, self-regulation, every kind of healthy communication, healthy conflict, how to have fierce conversations. And at the same time, they're also taking classes on finances, and they're taking classes on specifically parenting and anger and leadership and resume writing. What I love about what John's program is, it really is approaching the whole person, not just the addiction, not just the reason that they are in, they are incarcerated, but what got them there and giving them healing and tools so that they won't return.
Yeah, it's so interesting because 90% of the people that are in our Department of Corrections, they're going to be back in our neighborhoods in the next few years. And that's the reality that we all have to get past that stigma when we think, okay, these are guys that are paying their debt to society and they're getting their consequence. And yeah, there's wrong that's been done, and this is a good thing, and okay, and in some aspects, those things are happening. But then there's a point where these people are going to reconnect with their family. They're going to reconnect in our job world. They're going to be the ones that are either living in the streets or the ones that are working in our banks. You know, they're the ones that are going to be working to give back to society and contribute like the rest of us, because we all need second chances.
And only by the grace of God, many of us are not in that place.
Yeah.
And we do. We do all need the second chance. And you know what? They want that second chance, but they also want to know how to do it differently. They don't want to repeat what they have done. But if we don't help them do it differently, unfortunately, it does get repeated. And generationally, it gets repeated.
You were at 50 Christmases this past year, and what did you notice? I mean, you see the smiles on these kids' faces, you see the bikes and all the food that's being prepared by Las Vegas chefs.
Yeah. It's such an amazing look. There's nothing like the joy on a child's face. There's nothing like the smiles that they have on their face. But I have to tell you, my heart also goes to the mom and dad, and watching them and seeing the joy and smile on their face, that this is an opportunity that they have been able to provide for their kids with the help of a gracious community. And it's a step in restoration. It's a step in healing.
I remember a few years back when we came up with this crazy idea to help reconcile kids with their parents so they could have a Christmas celebration together. Talk to the Department of Corrections, and I think a few of them were kind of scratching their head like, yeah, I like the idea in theory, but how is this all going to work? And we're like, no, we don't want to just make like a cheap tablecloth on one of those big long buffet tables and just sit a bunch of people around and just give out gifts. We want to make it more personal. Like, what can we do to give them a real family feeling? We're talking about couches and coffee tables and love seats and setting the family around that and having it all decked out like Christmas was just all over the walls, like tinsel totally distracting you everywhere.
And there's those moments that they do look around, but they're looking around not in comparison for the first time. They're looking around at other people, the joy, the happiness, and then they are intentionally present with what's going on with the people that they love and care about, and it's powerful.
I remember last year, you know, that Chewbacca mask that people put on, it kind of made that sound like, you know, kind of sound. Some of the families who donated the gifts picked out a couple of those Chewbacca masks and they gave them to these kids in this one particular family. I'm looking around and it was like zooming in, okay? And I see this dad chasing his two kids around this coffee table in between the sofa and the love seat and the chair there. And he's wearing the mask doing the Chewbacca sound, that kind of thing. And the kids are running, screaming, they're climbing over the table. He's on his hands and knees chasing them around. And I'm like, see, that's the experience that this is about with 50 Christmases.
Well, yeah, because what they, you're creating memories, and every memory that you create is covering one that they would like to put behind them. So these are giving them new pages in their stories that are really just precious.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.